Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The Republican running for governor of Missouri is new to politics, but he considers that an advantage in this race. Dave Spence believes his background as a successful businessman would serve him well in Jefferson City. He's betting a considerable amount of his personal wealth on that some years ago. He took advice that became famous in the movie The Graduate and went into plastics. He's done well enough to pump $6 million of his own money into his campaign coffers, $2 million of that in just the last week or so. Still, his campaign has raised only about half that of his opponent, incumbent Democratic Governor Jay Nixon. Nixon is seeking a second term. Also in the contest, Libertarian Jim Higgins. Spence and Nixon are not likely to be exchanging Christmas cards this year. Dave Spence is suing the governor for defamation because of a controversial campaign ad. Dave Spence joins me in studio. Nice to have you with us, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Don. Pleasure to be here.
I'd like to begin by talking about the poll that came out over the weekend. The KMOV St. Louis Post-Dispatch poll shows you about 6 points behind Governor Nixon, but 9% still undecided. Is this pretty much where you expected to be at this juncture, or are you somewhat disappointed?
No, I think that's accurate. I think that's the feeling we get throughout Missouri. We still have some wood to chop, obviously. I'd like to be 5 points up. But I was pleased with that. I think that reflects our feel out there and the people we're talking to. So I don't know. November 6th is the only poll I really care about.
Well, that's just a few days away. How do you close the gap in such a short amount of time?
Well, I think that what that poll does not estimate or underestimates is the conservative surge that's out there in Missouri. It's a very conservative state. It's just basically taking so many Democrats, so many Republicans. But the conservatives in Missouri are going to come out en masse, and I think that can carry me to the goal line.
You know, Dave, I think that a lot of people, when they see the amount of money that's been put into the campaign by yourself personally, and this happens in other campaigns as well, they tend to wonder about putting so much of one's personal wealth into a campaign for a job that pays so little. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'm not doing it for what it pays. I'm doing it for Missouri. I'm a proud seventh-generation Missourian. I've had success in business. So I think that's great. God bless America. I'm in the American dream. And I'm making an investment in Missouri because I think our ancestors and everybody's ancestors who we're talking to and our kids and grandkids deserve a better product, and we need better leadership. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is, you know, and, you know, I guess would you rather have somebody put their personal money in or special interests? And I do not have any special interests in my pocket. I am clear thinking, and I'm going to do what's best for Missouri.
What do you think? You're a businessman, obviously. Mm-hmm. What do you think that a business person brings to government or could bring to government that politicians don't?
I think it's a perfect combination for my skill set. You know, and when you're running a company, you surround yourself with good people. You don't do all the accounting, the quality, the shipping, all that sort of stuff. You surround yourself with good people. In the government situation, you're talking about education, you're talking about tourism, you're talking about ag department, different things, Department of Labor. So you find yourself with the governor appoints 12 out of 16 directors, and you appoint really good people. I could care less about their political affiliation. I just want people to work hard, who have a burning desire to improve our state, like I do. And you lead those people, and you lead by example.
Let me read you an email that I received through Facebook today on this particular part of the subject. One question, name one president who was a good businessman and then a good president. Didn't happen. Herbert Hoover, bad president. Harry Truman was a bad businessman, good president. Jimmy Carter, a good peanut farmer, you know the rest. Two different skills, two vastly different jobs. Businessman and the political office holder, it's like if in the Olympics a good shot putter would say, I think I'll go into synchronized swimming.
Well, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm sure that was from the Nixon camp. They're entitled to their opinion, but I think that I'm not running for president. I'm running for governor, and the governor is truly the CEO of the state, and it fits my skill set perfectly, and I'll lead by example. I know how to make budgets. I know how to evaluate talent. I know how to get out there and talk with people. I'm not talking at people. I'm talking with people all over the state, and they're responding, and that's why the polls are closing so fast.
What is the status of your defamation suit against the governor?
Well, we filed it, and it really came down to, you know, it just – in political world, you can say anything about anybody, and you're guilty until proven innocent. And I just think that's wrong. He came out and defamed me and slandered me on something I did not do that I've been telling the truth about. I was on a bank board here in St. Louis. They took money from a troubled asset relief program called TARP. I joined the board after they took it. I did my best. I contributed to a capital campaign. I then resigned from the board. And I never thought a thing about it until I ran for politics, and all of a sudden I'm a banker that did something wrong and took ill-gotten gains, so they're saying. And I thought, you know what, that's just wrong. Somebody needs to raise a level of conduct. There should be some boundaries. And I'm not just doing it for me. I'm doing it for anybody who's ever run for political office in the past or who would think about it for the future. It's just wrong to bring somebody else down so you can get elected yourself.
But if you are a member of the board of a bank holding company, aren't you, even if it's only a temporary position, aren't you a banker?
Gosh, I don't know. If I own shares in Apple, am I responsible for your iPhone 5? I mean, you know, I there were 16 people on the board. I worked very hard. I contributed to the capital campaign. I stepped aside. You know, 10 years ago, if you were on a bank board, you were the smartest person in the room. And just so happened I hit when the economy was tanking. So I've told the truth on this. And I'm a plastic manufacturer. I built a business from 15 employees to 860. Those were, and they weren't just employees, they were family. I did the right thing. I was on the bank board, but I've told the truth about it. And I just think it's wrong to bring somebody else down. If you can't defend your record, you bring the other person down. And that's what's wrong with politics. And if we don't change it, nobody is going to run for politics in the future.
I want to talk a little bit more in a moment about the jobs. But while we're talking about name calling, I've watched your campaign ad on a number of occasions in which you call the governor a liar, and two different occasions in this ad. That's pretty tough language. Do you feel at all uncomfortable using that kind of language when at a time when you're questioning what you're being called by the other side?
No, because he is not telling the truth about what's going on in our state. We have 16% of our population in poverty, 1 in 6 Missourians on food stamps. We've taken 107,000 people out of the workforce to get to the unemployment rate he's quoting. And look around. I mean, look around St. Louis. Look around Missouri. We are not thriving. We're lagging every state around us in job creation to be a number 50th to economic development number 48th in the last 10 years. We are not thriving, and he is not talking about what he has accomplished, which is really basically nothing for the last 4 years.
Well, some of these numbers don't actually look bad to the layman. I look at 46,000 jobs created in 2011-2012, cited by the Nixon campaign. We'll certainly stipulate that. Unemployment rate of 6.9% in Missouri. That doesn't sound too bad.
Well, again, let's go back to why I think he's not telling the truth. We have 79,000 fewer people working since when he took office. We have 30,000 fewer construction jobs. And most of the construction jobs, they're traveling long distances to other states to be employed. And it's just the 6.9%, if you add the 107,000 people they took out of the workforce to get to that, plus the recent 40,000 graduates from schools in Missouri, it'd be over 10%. So during a campaign year, people pick the numbers that work in their favor. Governor Nixon has taken the unemployment rate that has been, I think, diluted by the 107,000 people that have been taken out of the workforce. But the real numbers are we're 79,000 fewer jobs than when he took office.
Again, I want to go back to the word liar, and I'll drop it after this. It's a word that you use, but here in our conversation you're talking about not telling the truth. There is a difference in language. Words mean something. And I'm just wondering about using that word. It's a very disparaging, tough word to use against anybody.
Yeah, fair enough, Don. And maybe I shouldn't have said it. If somebody's offended by that, I apologize. You know, you get in the heat of the battle and you say some things, and maybe you shouldn't say it in hindsight. And again, it is a strong word. I just think when somebody tries to bring you down and disparage you and slander you and defame you on something that you did not do and you've been telling the truth, you get a little heated. You get a little defensive, and if I offended, I apologize.
Kind of an all's fair in love and war situation?
Well, I think that we have a different status. We have a different category for politics, and it's gotten so nasty in the I'm right, you're wrong type mentality. I think we need to raise our game, start talking about the issues, and talk civilly. And I think that the guilty until proven innocent type philosophy needs to leave.
Now to the job situation. You're making much of this and the fact that as a businessman you think that you can help create jobs for the state of Missouri. And the numbers in your own firm are strikingly good. However, isn't it different creating jobs in a company you own than in government, state, or federal?
Well, I don't think that government should be creating jobs at all. I think you create the atmosphere for success. And some of my proposals, I think, are something that other states are doing. They're starting to grow around us. And I think we've got a business model in Missouri that I think is broken and is outdated, and we need to freshen it up. I'm kind of a less is more type of government. You know, let's get rid of some of the rules and regulations that are inhibiting people from expanding their businesses or feeling that Missouri has their back if you're a business. We also need to force some people back into the workforce. There's some people who have found it more convenient to stay unemployed versus try to seek a job that may be out there. And I just think we need to have common sense and, again, have rational conversations about what the business atmosphere is in Missouri. There's very few places in Missouri that are thriving. And we need to look at why we're not gaining jobs. You know, we just launched a charter a couple weeks ago. The top execs from AB are out of here. You look around, we have not gained new businesses in the St. Louis area and in Missouri at all. And other states are recovering, and we are not.
Could you be a little more specific about this path? I understand what you've just said, but just be more specific, please.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to do it. You know, I've been saying this from the very beginning. And, you know, even if you're a business owner or not, these types of reforms will bring down the cost of living in Missouri. A, we've got to put the medical malpractice caps back on doctors and hospitals. It was blown out by the Missouri Supreme Court six weeks ago. Now there's unlimited liability for doctors and hospitals. It's going to cost them more to renew for their medical malpractice. They're now getting increases of 40%. If you're a doctor out there or work for a hospital, expect to have cost increases for insurance. Our governor won't render an opinion. I will. We need to get it back in place. Second, workman's comp reform with a second injury fund fix. The second injury fund has been broken. There's people that have claims that have not been paid. There needs to be a comprehensive fix. Everybody wants to delay it for the next person. I'm willing to tackle it. Workman's comp cost. I'm all for justice. But let's not make it exposed so much that we're the sue-me state versus the show-me state. And in turn, even this radio station has to pay workman's comp insurance. Every citizen in the state is affected by the cost of doing business in Missouri, and we need to bring it under control. Third, I think we need to look at true tort reform in our state. States that are growing have a better tort reform than we have loser-pay lawsuits. Let's get rid of the frivolous lawsuits. Let's bring that down the cost of doing business for all Missourians and all Missouri businesses. You do those sort of things, and then plus get rid of the rules and regulations that punish productivity or punish economic development. I think you're sending the message loud and clear that you're open for business, and then we'll look at the next set of priorities beyond that.
You haven't mentioned the phrase right to work.
Well, I'd be happy to. You know, I think it's important we do this. I'm not everybody wants to paint me as anti-union. I'm not. I'm pro-growth, pro-worker. Six out of eight states around us are right to work. Illinois and Kentucky are not. Those states are growing. We're not. And I think that I am for the worker to have the choice. If that union is providing value, great, stay in the union. I have no issue with it whatsoever. But if it's not, you should have the right to say no and not be forced to have money taken out of your paycheck for political contributions you may not agree with, or if they're playing games on who's getting hired and who's not, or there's no value being created, you should have the option to be able to say, I'm out.
Of course, the people of Missouri had their say on that issue. It's been a few years ago now, but they spoke fairly clearly on that.
Well, it was in the 70s, Don. Yeah. I mean, are you the same person as you were in 1978? I don't think Missouri is the same person either.
Well,
you know,
that's why I make the point that it's been a few years ago. Would you like to see perhaps another vote, a statewide vote on that issue?
Well, I'd like to. You know, I think that we've certainly got input. I mean, as I've gone on around to all 114 counties and 75,000 miles, there's probably 112 of 114 counties that are anxious to get it. So I think the people would speak loud and clear.
Dave Spence is our guest. He is the Republican running for governor here in the state of Missouri. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And, of course, we'd like to bring you into it. Our number is 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We will take a tweet at STL on air, or you can also reach us through Facebook. Back to continue our conversation with Republican gubernatorial candidate Dave Spence in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Dave Spence, who is the Republican running for governor in the state of Missouri. I should point out, by the way, that Jim Higgins, the Libertarian candidate for governor, was a guest on this program earlier this month. Governor Nixon has been approached and invited to appear, but as of this moment, he's not yet been able to clear his schedule to do so. We hope that he will sometime between now and Election Day. Dave Spence, you said something interesting a moment ago off the air with regard to Todd Akin and what you feel the impact has been on your race, given his well-publicized comments.
Well, I think it's put every race in Missouri, a little – people look at it and say, whoa, there's been – you know, I need to back off because of this position or that position. You know, I like Todd personally. I think he's a nice guy. Obviously, what he said was wrong and offensive, and he's said that. But I've always said I've just got to concentrate on what I'm doing, and I'm running for governor, you know, and I think it's covered over a little bit of the headlines in our state, obviously. Let's talk about the obvious. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I think our governor has been able to hide behind that a little bit and turn down debates. He's turned down five with me. He probably won't do this radio show. I will. And he's trying to hide in a bunker and try to get reelected. And I just think that's wrong. I think Missourians deserve better.
As a relative, as a newcomer to politics in Missouri, I should say, the question of name recognition is one that is critical for anyone running outside of their immediate area. You've got to get people to know you on the other side of the state, in the center of the state, in the northern and southern parts as well. How difficult a process is that for you?
Well, you know, I knew it was a lot of people, you know, would say, well, who is this guy? He didn't come from the political farm system. And, you know, why should I vote for him or why should I even think about it? But, you know, I've worked really, really hard for the last year. I mean, 75,000 miles, 114 counties, you know, probably 1,500, 1,800 stops. I've spent probably more time out of St. Louis than in St. Louis and gotten to know every inch of this state and gone to people's farms, factories, homes, schools. And, you know, I think one of the differences is people recognize when people talk at them and versus talking with them. And I've talked with people and I've gone to courthouses, talked to sheriffs, talked to mayors, talked to everybody in this state and found out the issues. And in the end, it's all about the same. We all put our pants on the same way. And there's not a lot of economic optimism in our state.
Just while we mentioned the word economy, one more thing I wanted to get in, I don't want to forget it, and that is there is a proposal out there in Missouri to eliminate the income tax and replace it with a sales tax. Do you have a position on that?
I think it's an intriguing idea. I think a lot of people try to make up their mind without knowing the facts. Tennessee has this right now, and I'd like to get in, look under the hood of how we do budgeting, go through one budget cycle in Missouri. I'd like to really lift up every rock, open up every file drawer, and see how we do things like I would in any business. And then really look at all the implications of this and see if it makes sense or not. I'm kind of intrigued within the fact that what it does is levels the playing field for all taxpayers, that if somebody's dealing in a cash economy and you and I are paying taxes, they still want good education, they still want the roads paved, they still want the highway patrol and safety out there, but they're not paying their taxes. And that's what intrigues me about it. But we also want to make sure that we're covered in the worst-case scenario and it doesn't inhibit growth but would promote growth.
But there are those out there who feel that it might hit the poorer people in that the poverty category harder because they'd be paying more for basic items.
Well, I understand that, and I'm a very empathetic, warm-hearted person. I think that's why you don't make up your mind ahead of time. You have a lot of smart people looking at all the angles. Certainly nobody wants to have that happen. But I think we also need to realize the world has changed and we need to change with it. And if there's a better taxation system out there that's more fair for everybody and we can get our economy growing, I'm willing to listen to it.
Lots to talk about, but let's go to the phones. A number of folks want to get into the conversation. Let's bring them in. We'll start with Mike calling from St. Louis. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air with Dave Spence.
Good morning, Mr. Spence.
Morning. How are you?
Very well. In the recent past, Tim Jones, the Speaker of the Missouri House, Vicki Hartzler, Congresswoman from the 2nd District, 7th District, and even Mitt Romney have questioned the nationality of our president. And according to an article in Politic Mo from October 22nd, you think that President Obama should go back to wherever he came from.
Do
you question the nationality of our president, one? And after you answer that, I have a follow-up question on the economy, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, I never said that was completely taken out of context. Welcome to the political world. If the president says he's from this country, I believe him. I'm taking it at his word. You know, okay, so we can make a big issue out of that, or we can move on.
Well, I mean, you think that he's an American?
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth. What I said was, I'll take him at his word.
Okay. Second follow-up question. A little bit of research shows that right-to-work states are the poorest states in the country. Do you think that driving wages down in Missouri by getting rid of right-to-work and also getting rid of the minimum wage, which you said you'd like to do, how does driving down wages enrich Missouri? And I'll take your response off the air. Thank you.
Well, we can obviously tell which side of the Democratic Party you're calling from there, but I would tell you I did not say to get rid of the minimum wage. I just didn't want to raise Missouri's above the federal. And I think that would be a mistake to put one more barrier in front of people who want to find a job or hire people here. So, you know, again, please don't put words in my mouth. Also, I could tell you five other stories of how that a state that's growing is a rising tide that raises all boats. We're surrounded by six out of eight states that are right-to-work states, and they're growing. I just don't think it has to be the doom and gloom that everybody has to think. I think we're propagandized on both sides, and I think that I want to get grown as Missouri. And if we're being inhibited by getting small towns back to work with factories and businesses not moving here, when was the last time you heard about a business moving to Missouri? Let's look at the realistic part of this. And if a union's providing value, great. I have no issue with it. But if it's not, you should have the choice.
All righty. I hope that that answers the question. Let's move on to another call, and we'll bring in Babs calling from Chesterfield. Go ahead, Babs, as long as we're talking about business in Missouri. I think your question relates to that.
Yeah, it does. Thanks for taking my call. Earlier, there were a lot of efforts to look at bringing something called the China Hub to Missouri for jobs, for economic development. And I was wondering what the candidate's position is on leading or considering any renewed efforts to bring those jobs and bring that transportation center to Missouri. And I'll listen to your response on the air.
Thanks, Babs. Appreciate it. Yeah, I have an opinion on that, and I probably I changed my opinion over time on it as I learned more about what happened in the last session or two sessions ago. The concept to bring a cargo hub to Lambert is a great idea in the fact that revenue at an airport is derived by poundage, not passengers. And we have about $170 million of the revenue at Lambert and about $1.2 billion of long-term debt from the buyout of the sound barrier and the new runway. So if it were a standalone business, you'd say it doesn't work. So the concept of bringing a cargo hub in there was a good idea. The problem is politics took over. And what started out as a good concept and based upon poundage and revenue at the airport, and if it would have just stuck to that, I would have said, hey, that sounds great. But in turn, everybody from around the state, even the governor, put things in that bill as kind of a earmarks and, hey, I'll vote for this if you put this in. And it became the proverbial 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound can by the time it was voted on, and there became distrust throughout the state. So a governor should have stepped in and said, hey, let's just stick to the basic premise of what this is, revenue and poundage and economic impact around the area. And I think I would have been supportive of it. When it finally came to a vote, it had so much stuff in it that was what didn't have anything to do with it. And I think that's what's wrong with politics. I'll vote for, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And we need to stick to the basics.
Thank you for the call, Babs. Let's bring in Eric calling from St. Louis. Eric, thanks for being with us. You're on the air with Dave Spence.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Spence, I'm curious to know your position. One of the state ballot questions coming up is, would deny the governor the ability to establish a state health care exchange? And I'm wondering about your position on that and your position on the Affordable Care Act in general.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not in favor of a federal solution, and I'll tell you why. We already have $16 trillion of the debt on a national level, and I think we're perilously close to being bankrupt as a country. There's a lot of things we used to do well as a country, but, you know, the post office is hemorrhaging cash. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Social Security are all waning. And, first of all, I think people who complain about things need to have a solution, and I'm willing to look for a solution for Missouri. I think when you just complain about things and don't have say, but this is my idea in return— I just think we need to look at certificates of needs for hospitals. If there's not enough competition in an area and they're artificially keeping prices high, we need to look at that. I think we need to teach people to go to a urgent care facility where necessary and versus the emergency room. And I also think we need to contain the ability for medical malpractice insurance. And also doctors right now are practicing defensive medicine. They're doing more tests than necessary to make sure they don't get sued. And, again, we're all for justice, but I think we need to have common sense come back in. I think we can lower our costs 15 to 20% through hard work and just communicating. But I just don't like the federal solution. I think it would be a mistake. I think it's a financial hole that we're going to go into, and it's going to push us further off the cliff federally.
What do you mean by certificate of need?
Well, in the state, you have to file a certificate of need before you can open up a hospital or clinic. And I just think we need to look at that areas where if we can do a study throughout the state and we can say, well, hey, we need more competition in this area or there's not enough competition here, open it up and hopefully competition can make everybody a little sharper too. I mean, there's nothing that can't be improved in healthcare through a little competition and working together.
Well, there are 50 million people without health insurance today. There's certainly a need there, don't you agree?
Absolutely, there is. You know, but I think we need to look at it responsibly versus just opening up the barn door and saying, here you go. First of all, let me go back to this. I'm a problem solver, and we know we have a problem. And I don't think that a lot of people who have complained about the Affordable Care Act have come up with a solution to it. And I've heard great ideas throughout the state, and I think we need to have all those great ideas come together. I just don't like the government solution. I think it needs to be the a market-based solution.
It apparently works very well in other countries, though. And our healthcare system is ranked, I think, 17th among the industrialized countries of the world.
Well, Don, I would disagree with you. I just talked to somebody from Canada yesterday, and they had to wait 7 hours before basic services. And, you know, it's not working for them up there. So, I mean, I'm using that as one example. Maybe there's countries that it works well, but I just think the United States is perilously close to being bankrupt. And I don't think we can afford to take on more federal assistance. I think it needs to be market-based. I think it needs to – people just need to quit finger-pointing and solve the situation.
Well, let me assure you, you can wait a long time in an emergency room at any major hospital in the country today, too. Been through that, done that, and it can take a long, long time.
I understand. Don, you know, there may be people out there that disagree with me, and, you know, and I guess that makes the world go round, really. I mean, you know, I don't think we have to be at each other's throat if we have a difference of opinion. I just happen to think it needs to be a market-based solution versus a federal solution.
Back to the phones. Michael in St. Louis, it's your turn. Go ahead. You're on the air with Dave Spence.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. My perspective is from the urban areas of Missouri, and I see them as being this real challenge for the state's growth. We talk about how we are set apart from other parts of the country, and I think that the way the state legislature here has let the urban areas decline has been a very unique and interesting thing to watch. And then you talk about regulation as being the problem, but then you see these major corporate leaders and executives going to places that where it's much more expensive to do business, like New York City, where AB decided to relocate its head honcho. So my question is, over the last 50 years, we've seen a huge decline in the city of St. Louis's population and economy, no matter what the national economy or the state's economy look like. And how do you propose to solve that challenge, and how do you propose to specifically bring up some of these communities where a lot of that can be most viewed, like in these poor Northside communities here in St. Louis that have just been kind of eviscerated no matter how well the economy was working for everybody else in the state? And I appreciate your answer.
No problem. Well, I think, first of all, a lot of the crumbling in our city, and both in Kansas City and St. Louis, goes back to the schools, unaccredited schools. I think people from the outside have tried to helicopter in and solve the problems, and I think the problems need to be solved from within. My wife and I have been down at Rosewood High School for the last 6 years, and we weren't looking for photo ops or headlines, but when the specially appointed board came in and we were unaccredited, we volunteered to help down there, and we've learned a lot. It's not just because of us, but from a whole community of people that have gone in there and listened to the community and brought in the resources to bear, that I think the provisional accreditation was a great step in the right direction. There are solutions out there, but the finger-pointing and waiting for somebody else to solve it doesn't work. So my wife and I have been down there, and anybody who knows the South Side probably knows what we've done down there, and we've really helped. We've led by example. I also think it comes down to jobs. When you're not growing and you're 50th in the country in jobs, there's not much economic hope for some of these people, and they're multi-generational welfare families because the economic opportunities are not there. So, you know, what I hear, and I've been up in, you know, South Side, North Side, everywhere, is people are looking for jobs, and there just aren't any jobs in this area. And I think that will help fix up homes, that will get people off the social services, and it gives them a start to get to rebuild their life.
Thanks for the call. Let's bring in David in St. Louis. David, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Don, and good morning, Mr. Spence.
Hi, David. How you doing?
Of course, Mr. Spence, I'm with the Board of Education of the City of St. Louis, and I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to visit our board and give us your stance and your foresight on public education, not just the City of St. Louis, but throughout the state. I do appreciate the time that you gave us.
It was nice to meet you, David.
The best thing that I've been hearing about you, and I've been following your campaign since day one, because I am not a Democrat or a Republican. I vote for the person that I think has my best interests at heart. And you have been so consistent since you started your campaign, speaking about employment, jobs, help for the businesses in the area, and also about public education. And I read your paper on public education. And I think that's something that I can support. And I really am excited about you wanting to bring both the Board of Education and the Special Administrative Board together. I think nobody has talked about that in the current administration, and I think that's important. I understand that the SAB is going to be here until 2014, and that the school district has been given provisioning accreditation, which means there should be some sort of transition happening. We haven't heard that from either DESE or from the current governor's office. Could you expound a little bit on your paper of supporting public education? Because, as you know, within the next 3 years, the surrounding school districts from the around the city of St. Louis will all be unaccredited. So you're talking about almost 35 to 40,000 students that will be in unaccredited districts, and nobody from the current state government or DESE is jumping up and down on any foresight or any plan to assist those school districts.
David, let's give Mr. Spence a chance to respond to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I met David at the I was asked to come down to the elected board. There's a specially appointed board and elected board, and right now the specially appointed board is running the school district when it became unaccredited. I think it's inevitable that the appointed board and the elected board will come together. I'm a realist on that. I think it needs to. I think we need to separate politics from education. I think that's part of the problem, is everybody wants to get their own agenda in the way versus what's right for the students and their families. So I just think we need to strip back the clutter, get back to the basics. Good leadership. Crystal, who is now principal down at Roosevelt, runs a tight ship. She is awesome. She's responding, and the kids need structure, and a leader leads. And I think sometimes we take educators and try to make them leaders, and maybe we need to take, in certain situations, maybe we need to take leaders and make them educators. And I just think we need to quit the excuses, raise the bar, and quit talking about the symptoms, but find the cure. And that's what we've been. We've been people of action, and I think that's what we need to do.
That's Dave Spence. He is the Republican candidate for governor here in the state of Missouri. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Hello again, and welcome back. We are continuing our conversation with Dave Spence, who is the Republican candidate for governor of Missouri. We have a lot of phone calls and emails, so let's get cracking right away. We'll bring in Terry from South County. Terry's been waiting quite a while. We appreciate that, Terry. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I want to disagree with Mr. Spence, and he may find out what side of the Democratic Party I'm on, but I want to disagree with Mr. Spence about some of these headquarters moving out of St. Louis, which nobody likes. But doesn't part of it have to do with the fact, for example, you can't get anywhere from here because businessmen in such as American Airlines, after we upgraded our airport, decided to pull out of here anyway. You can't get any direct flights out of here. I think that's part of the reason why some of these guys got out, because you can't get anywhere from here. You can't fly anywhere from here. So that's an infrastructure problem. The other thing is, I would like for you to at least discuss in some detail the millions of dollars that of the bank that you were involved with and why that hasn't gotten paid back yet. I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I've already answered the bank deal once, but I'll be happy to answer it again. I was one of about 14 or 16 people on the board. I wasn't on the board when they took the money. They didn't raise the type of capital, even though I put in more than my fair share. I've told the truth on this in the beginning. If you choose not to hear the truth, I guess that's your opinion, but I've told the truth, and the federal regulators told us to delay it. I'm still hopeful that they will pay it, but I'm no longer on the board. I'm no longer a shareholder of the bank, and I've told them from the beginning. If you choose not to believe that, I guess you'll never believe that. Second of all, planes will only come here when they're full and they're leaving full. So we can try to say, well, American, you should do this or do that, but it's their right to say, if I don't have the traffic, I'm not going to bring the planes in. And you're right in the fact that we have a lot fewer flights than we used to have when we were a hub. Gosh, I mean, we used to be able to fly all around the world from here, but we can't. Now we have to go through Chicago or Dallas or Atlanta to go everywhere. So it's really a state, it's a microcosm of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about economic opportunity, not as many people flying in and out of here. And, you know, so we're really saying the same thing in that regard, is that if we had more business here and more traffic here, there'd be more flights here.
A couple of quick emails here, and I'd appreciate quick responses, and I think you can give them. Trini asks, I feel the shutting down of the commission administering movie tax credits was a blow to our economy. Movie production companies go elsewhere now. Would you revisit this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have 62 tax credit programs, and I think we're sometimes penny wise and pound foolish, as they say. Some work, some don't. I've heard that from a lot of people throughout the state on the film tax credit, that it's really decimated the industry. All the people that, you know, when you do commercials, they're talking to you and, you know, whatever. And they've been loud and clear that that has decimated their industry. It also, you know, when was the last time a movie was made in Missouri that focused on Missouri? You know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I don't know. I guess it's a no-win situation sometimes on tax credits. I'm willing to review every one of those and see what's a good return on investment for taxpayers and stakeholders in Missouri, like all of us. I think the ones that have less than a dollar for a dollar return have to be questioned. The ones that have a great return, I think we ought to do more of those. So I'm willing to open it up and make common sense of the tax credit situation.
Andy writes, where does your guest stand on issues having to do with the relationship between government and science? How important does Mr. Spence think science and math education are in today's world? Does he support teaching of creationism in public schools?
Well, I think that science and math, obviously, we're falling behind almost every measurable category in our country, not just our state. And I think we need to have a renewed emphasis on that. I think all the different measuring devices that DESE and Board Federal Department of Education you know, there are probably unintended consequences of it. I'm glad we got out of No Child Left Behind. And I think we need to have less federal and state involvement in education, and they think it needs to go back to local. I just think that's common sense because one size does not fit all for 522 school districts.
All right. And he mentioned specifically creationism.
I'm not sure where he's going on that. If somebody can explain what he's trying to get to on that, I'd be happy to answer.
I think there are some concerns with the evangelical position that the world is only 10,000 years old. And, they take Genesis literally.
Yeah, I just that's not the way I believe.
Okay. Let's bring in Bill. Bill is joining us. I'm not sure from where, but Bill, if you're there, go ahead.
Hello. This is Bill. I'm in St. Louis. Thank you for your show. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a professional man in the city of St. Louis. I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm an independent, and I hate to admit I'm a one-issue voter, and I would like to know your opinion on medical marijuana and the possible taxation and full legalization of it for our state.
Well, that's your one issue. That's the first time I've heard that throughout the state. But, you know, I don't know. You have to prioritize and you have to pick your battles, just like with your kids and everything around your life. That is not number one on my issue. I mean, I'm going to concentrate on the things that's going to get Missouri's economic engine going. Anything that interferes with people getting back to work and getting dignity back to their life by getting a paycheck versus unemployment check is going to be put to the side. That would not be on my number one hit parade.
Couple of other issues, social issues that people that are one issue issues mm-hmm. for a lot of people. Abortion.
Yeah, I'm endorsed by Missouri Right to Life. I'm a practicing Catholic, and I believe in protecting the innocent and the unborn.
Gay marriage.
You know, I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Simply said. Back to the phones and Jack in West County. It's your turn. Go ahead.
I'm undecided here. Because I'm disappointed in Nixon with how he's run basically the welfare part of the government. Not because they're spending too much, but they're not spending it as effectively as they should. But prisons haven't been talked about yet. I was wondering. I assume the gentleman wants prisons to be outsourced, but the previous question bears on that. Now, prisons are the huge part of the budget, and we're putting too many people in prison. What does he have to say about that?
Well, I've never said outsourced. I've been endorsed by the Missouri Corrections Officers Association, and I believe that unfortunately, it's a very big business in our state. We have 22 facilities, and it's a big part of our budget. And as a state, we're one of the highest density prison populations out there. So, but I do think it goes back to, you hate to be so redundant, but it does go back to jobs and the economy. If people had a job, they probably wouldn't be cooking meth. If people had a job, they probably wouldn't be committing crimes. And so you look at it, and if there's more economic opportunity for everybody in our state, I think you'd see prison populations go down, fewer people going to prison. I know it's an oversimplification, and I know people say, well, it's not that easy. I understand that. But you got to start somewhere. And we've got to get Missouri's economy going. And I think you'd see a reduction in prison populations and the percentage in our budget if we did that.
While we're talking about prisons, let's go back to some of those items that will also be on the ballot on November 6th. And I refer specifically to Amendment 3, the nonpartisan court plan. Do you have a position on that?
I do. I if it ain't broke, don't fix it, as they say. And I think Missouri court plan has been a model for other states, and it's been working for years. I think it actually puts too much power with the governor. And I think we ought to have as many private citizens with voices in there picking our judicial bench.
Are you concerned that if, in fact, this passes, that it would become more political?
I don't think it's going to pass, but even the people that were pushing it have backed off on it.
Yeah, okay. While we're on these issues, let's hit a couple of others. We've already talked about the health exchanges, I think. You're probably in favor of that. And local control.
I think it should be local. At times in the past, there's been some disagreements on who is going to be controlling the pension. My impression, talking to a lot of people, is that that's been resolved, and I'm for all local control. It goes back to the Civil War. I mean, my goodness, let's go.
Yeah. And tobacco tax.
I'm not in favor, and I'll tell you why. Just like you said earlier, it's regressive on the poor. I've been all around Missouri, and Missourians don't need another tax increase right now. It's a timing issue. I just don't think that – and I know that there's points on both sides of this, but I have real empathy for Missourians right now. And, I guess – I don't know. People are just trying to put food on their table and gas in their tank and worry about their kids, and we don't need another tax increase.
And don't you think, as governor, perhaps you might want to rethink that? It's going to bring close to $300 million into the state coffers, earmarked for education, among other things.
Not all of it is.
Not all of it.
Not
right.
All of it is. I don't know. Just my personal opinion. You know, one thing Missourians will find out about me is I'll always state what I truly mean versus what's next for the next poll or the next election.
Back to the phones. Tom is in his car. Tom, I hope you've got hands-free cell phone going there, but go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, hi. I'm actually parked, gentlemen.
Good for you.
Mr. Spence, I am a retail businessman that started my business over 30 years ago. So I have a viewpoint that has to do with the economic well-being of the state, but I would like to ask you a couple of questions. One of which is, are you in favor of rolling back the minimum wage in this state? And I would also say on the matter of idea of bringing the taxes on generic cigarettes up to the level of a cheap mixed drink in a bar, that I don't see how that, is a loss for the state. I understand that it will mean that people that smoke generic cigarettes will pay more, but once more, they're going to be paying the price of a cheap mixed drink for that pack of cigarettes.
Okay, fair enough. You know, listen, that's what makes the world go round, is difference of opinions. You can point the finger and say I'm wrong, or I can say you're wrong. It doesn't, I'm going to vote against it. I've been against it from day one. As far as... what was the first part of the question? I apologize.
The first part. First part of the question is: are you in favor of rolling back the minimum wage? And would you care to comment on the fact that over 70% of the people in Missouri who make the minimum wage are the heads of households in the state? And how would it benefit the state as a whole to lower the minimum wage?
No, I'm not in favor of that. I've never been in favor of that. My issue was somebody said we wanted to raise it above where the federal was, and I just don't think that's a good idea. I just think we ought to keep it exactly where the federal is. It's $7.25 an hour. There's going to be an inflation kicker that goes in around January 1st. And I think that, I don't want anybody to make minimum wage. But keep in mind, wages stay soft and down when there's more supply than demand. And if we had an economy that was growing and more demand for labor, you'd see wages go up. But unfortunately, there's more people looking for a job than jobs out there.
Well, sir, I'll leave this with you. As far as the tax on cigarettes, look at it this way. You can support having the tax on a pack of generic cigarettes, 14 cents, and that is just going to have money sent out of the state by these large box retailers and such. I'm just in favor of any kind of policy that keeps money in the state, meaning it will circulate in our state economy. And, you know, I'm a capitalist.
I am too.
So I'm looking at ways for a state that has always been 40-something in a lot of manner, in a lot of ways, in the upcoming years, to try to have a little bit of economic parity.
I understand. To me, it's more of a timing issue and where we are, and I just really have tremendous empathy for Missouri families right now.
We thank you for the call, and we've got a couple of tweets here that I'll put out to you, Dave Spence. How much of the drop in construction jobs is because the Missouri legislature has voted against spending on infrastructure?
Well, it's just like your household in January when you get all your bills and you say, I need to cut back. We need to cut back in this state. I think it sounds great that we do all this infrastructure. However, it needs to be done in a responsible manner. And I think that we need to look at it. But we've got $2.5 billion in the Missouri Highway Department from both federal and state. We're putting a lot towards Mississippi River Bridge that's being built. We just did I-64. There's a big interchange near Branson and Springfield. We're doing a lot, but we need to digest what we have first before we go on to the next phase.
I have another one here. I'm not sure I totally understand it. I hope you do. If not, we'll just bypass it. Why should Missourians want reduced protections for citizens and increased protections for corporations?
Well, keep in mind, I think people want to say like, oh, businesses are the enemy or whatever. Come on. I mean, I employed 860 families. You know, without for-profits, there are no not-for-profits. Let's look at it that way. Who's contributing to all these things? Without a paycheck, without this station, without looking across the street, all these different built businesses. It's not just Alpha Packaging, my company I built. It's every business in the state has the added workman's comp costs, the added liability costs. Hey, I'm all for justice. Let's just make it so that it is responsible and we're not adding to the cost of doing business in Missouri.
In the time we have left, which is not much, I'll refer to another plank in your basic platform, and that is ethics reform.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about there? What needs to be reformed?
I think that we need to keep honest people honest. I don't think it's right that our governor is taking political contributions from people to get tax credits. I don't think it's right that our governor is taking political contributions from when they make a $100 million economic incentive package for GM, they turn around and give him $400,000. I don't think it's right that his vetoes are for sale. And I don't think it's right that you can go right from a legislator to being a lobbyist. I think you would change your behavior. So it's not all directed to the governor. I think it's on both sides. And I think we just need to put some boundaries there so that people like you and me have confidence in our elected officials that they're playing down the middle of the fairway and there's no funny business.
And again, we don't have that much time left, but what have you found to be the pitfalls of a first-time candidacy in a statewide race?
Well, there's no book on written how to do this. I started about a year ago, and you make some mistakes and you have foot and mouth disease. But, I don't know. I've learned a lot, and I would say the one pitfall is the amount of finger pointing. And it's like both sides are walking around with not literally but figuratively loaded guns waiting for somebody else to say something, and then they shoot at each other. And I think we need to back off and start communicating. I'm less about politics and more about progress.
Is there anything that you would like to take back or have a do-over on after a year of this?
No, I don't know. I just don't look in the rearview mirror. I look forward, and I see we're right on the verge of being right in contention, running our state. I think it's time that career politicians go to the wayside, and we have real-world common-sense people that can actually do something and get something done and bring a skill set. I know the incoming House and Senate leadership. I like them. We get along. I've been all over the state. I know I can run this state, and I have confidence we can raise our bar and get it going.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Dave Spence. He is the Republican candidate for governor here in the state of Missouri. Dave, we want to thank you so much for spending this last hour with us and giving us a chance to know you better and giving our audience a chance to get to know you better and serve questions your way.
Well, thanks, Don. I can't be anybody that I'm not. I'll answer any question and may not agree with me 100% of the subjects, but you know where I stand. And I just want to congratulate you on a great career in broadcasting. I've grown up with you, and you've always had my respect.
I love it when people say they grew up with me, especially when they're adults, but I guess I can't change that. But thank you for those kind words. I'll point out once again that Jib Higgins, the Libertarian candidate for governor, was a guest on this program earlier this month. Governor Nixon has been invited to the program, but has yet been unable to clear his schedule to be a part of the program. Unfortunately, perhaps he'll find time between now and November 6th. A reminder, by the way, that you can find more information about the current election cycle at beyondnovember.org. It's a collaboration of St. Louis Public Radio, the St. Louis Beacon, and the Nine Network of Public Media. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Senator Claire McCaskill about her campaign to retain her seat in the U.S. Senate. And let me mention here that we'll be recording that interview with the senator. That's going to happen tomorrow morning for tomorrow's program. So if you have a question for her, email us before then at stlpublicradio.org, use Facebook, or tweet us at say STL on Air. That's if you want to get a question into Senator McCaskill. We'll be recording her tomorrow. Also looking ahead, join us Wednesday morning at 11 in the community room of our new building at Grand Center for a two-hour town hall meeting on the four statewide ballot issues on the ballot this year. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air, a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.